August 8th, 2021, Men and Women's Day program.
go before the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come right now to say thank you, Lord. But this is another opportunity to come to this your house. We thank you, Father God, for how you have kept us, Lord, all day long. Even all year, God, up until this very point.
Oh, yes, yes, God.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to just stop right here, God, just for a little while.
Yes.
That we celebrate men and women on today, Lord.
Yes.
We ask you, Father God, to allow your Holy Spirit to come into this place, Lord God, and stir us up in the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
That your will be done, God.
Oh, yes.
We thank you, Lord, for how you kept us, God. Even when we didn't have a mind to want to be killed. We ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Jesus' name we do pray, God. And whatever is the standing of, we have not asked, we pray that you grant it. guys a little quiet in here this afternoon. Amen. How many of you know that God's been too good to us for us not to give him any praise? Amen. Come on, just stand up on your feet right now. And I can give you, if you don't think that you have a reason to give God any praise, I can give you a reason. You are yet among the living and not among the dead. Because how many of you know that we are still in a pandemic?
Welcome. welcome. If there's anything that we can do to make your stay a little more comfortable, please do not hesitate to let us know. For the Bible says that in Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We are so glad that you that are in here in the sanctuary, you who are visiting us on Facebook Live or through social media, we are just so glad you've come to celebrate with us on this day, our annual Men and Women Day celebration. I want you to know that you're welcome, you're loved, and you are appreciated here at John's Chapel AME Church in Enterprise, Alabama. Now, John's Chapel, y'all help me with this right here. John's Chapel, y'all help me right here, okay? Y'all help me, y'all follow with me. So we're going to tell y'all this. Here at John's Chapel, we tell our guests that here at John's Chapel, help me, John's Chapel, you are welcome in John's Chapel because you are what? At the right place, at the right time. You better hear me up for this. And again, to every one of you that are here physically, and those who are watching virtually or through social media, from the bottom of our hearts at John's Chapel, we sincerely say to you simply, you are welcome.
Amen. organization by Brother Edward M. Brown Jr., and after which we have a part of the program where everybody can participate. Prepare yourselves for the offering.
Men and Women's Day.
Smart man.
And every time I Googled it, I don't know what men were, but women kept coming up. Matter of fact, it was International Women's Day. IWD. I said, okay. I said, well, maybe I went on the wrong. What is it like that the whale thing is going to another one? I tried another one, and all that same thing. So I discovered that whenever men and women were mentioned separately, it was always on some kind of international or individual basis. And whenever Men and Women's Day was mentioned together, it was always associated with the church. And I said, well, that's good enough for me. But I like to do history, you know, things of where they began. But anyway, since Google told me this, I'm going to relay it back to you. International Women's Day, first observed in the 1900s. Time of great expansion and turbulence in the industrialized world that saw booming population growth and the rise of radical ideologies. Now, up to 2021, the world has witnessed a significant change in attitude shift in both women's and society's thoughts about women's equality and emancipation. Men's Day, a global holiday celebrated annually on November 19th to celebrate the cultural, political, and socioeconomic achievements of men. It incorporates the ideals of family, marriage, child care, etc. Ultimate aim is to promote basic humanitarian values. And I noticed that anytime there's a beginning of something, there's always some kind of struggle.
Yeah.
You know, there's always sometimes associated with something. That could be negative, or we want to convert it to a positive. And Pastor asked me to do the occasion, and he said he wanted me to sing something.
What was that I told y'all nigga I wanted to do?
Huh? All right. Now, if y'all help Ricky, y'all can help me too. He's a battle axe in the time of battle. He's a battle axe in the time of battle. He's a battle axe in the time of battle. Shivering the time of storm. He's a battle axe in the time of battle. He's a battle axe in the time of battle. He's a battle axe. is your program. Amen.
Always got me in the hot seat. Always got me doing something.
Willie White, amen. And at this time, we will ask if Pastor Willie White Jr. will come forward and give us the introduction of his preaching.
today, Mentor, Alabama, to President Louis Marshall and President Obama. Thank you for the introduction. To Pastor Willie White, Jr., who is doing a hot dog of a job. Sister Patricia White, we thank you for your love and for God and the support of your husband, and you deserve sanctity. Reverend Francis Pitt. Reverend Dr. Marcus Wheeler, Reverend Deborah Butler, Reverend Lisa Kay, and Reverend Flora Scott. Thank you so much for being here today and serving. Thank you for this choir that has given us great music today as we've been preparing for worship. I do salute the Jones Chapel family and the officers and all persons who are here, to the AMEs who hold leadership positions in the 9th Episcopal District. We'll call your name, but I can't see you. I'm scared I'll miss somebody. I can't see that far. Pastor White, thank you for inviting me to preach here for your men's and women's day. And I'm honored. I acknowledge your chairpersons, Brother Ronnie and Sister Latonya Flowers.
Yeah.
I thank you for those who are in the sanctuary, in the parking lot, on Zoom, Facebook Live, YouTube, or however you're listening. I salute all clergy spouses. And it's just good to be in a church where people seem to be excited about worship.
Hey!
I had a friend that said, since you took the time to get dressed and come out here, might as well have a good time. So I appreciate the hospitality from this church. It's everything, okay? Good to see some youth out this afternoon. I won't be before you long. I know people say that all the time, but I really mean it. I tell people you're going to shout early because they ain't going to be there at the end. Don't wait, it's going to be over. We turn back in your Bibles to chapter. And I'd like to read verses 10 through 12. Read from the English Standard Version. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. I'd like to preach from the subject today, don't be half-dressed.
All right.
Let's pray. God, as we come this afternoon, thank you so much just for another opportunity to gather in your house. God, it's good to be able to come together, even in the midst of pandemic and taking necessary precautions. It's just good to fellowship one with another.
Yes.
God, as we come this afternoon, thank you for Jones Chapel Church, for Pastor and Mrs. White, for all the church family, for all the people who are supporting them today. Thank you for what you're doing in this branch of Zion. We know, God, that you're moving in the midst, and we just continue to stand and watch your work.
Oh, yeah.
Now, God, as I preach this sermon today, I pray that I will preach it as you asked me to preach it. I pray that somebody's life will be transformed. Most of all, God, I ask you not to let me preach this sermon at me, but let me preach it first to myself.
Yeah.
Most of all, give me the strength to live it when I'm finished. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Don't be half-dressed. I know that's not proper English, but it works. You understand?
That's right. Yeah. You're a good couple.
Communication.
Yeah.
I'm a country girl.
Uh-huh.
The town where I grew up had 4 traffic lights, a couple flashing lights, a Piggly Wiggly, a Winn-Dixie, and a community cash.
Uh-huh.
In my hometown, we stopped for funeral procession, and we followed the fire truck to the latest fire. And we knew and told everybody's business before they knew it. Some people had gardens with beans and corn and tomatoes and sweet potatoes and white potatoes and squash and whatever else they desired to plant. Because my siblings and I had to peel the many bushels of peaches we picked and washed in the number 10 tubs so that mom could can them, somebody would have to offer me a pretty penny today to peel a peach. We went to church, but we also went downtown. And downtown had a section called Back Street. Brothers. We listen to white pop music during the day and black pop soul music during the day. But late at night, all radios tuned to 1400 on the AM dial for rhythm and blues from Ernest Record Mart in Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, but that was country living. In my hometown, there were several divisions of people. We had the black, the color, to the Negro, depending on where you were born, and the white. We had the college professors, the cotton mill executives, and the bankers. We had the teachers and the preachers, and the factory and the dry cleaners workers. We had the car dealers, and the gas stations, the mechanics, and the plumbers, the police, and the doctors, and the black-owned businesses of construction companies, contractors, blacksmiths, farmers, and a poor funeral home directors. We lived among the rich, the poor, the middle class, and the dirt poor. Then there was a division of the church and the unchurched, the saved and the sinners, the backsliders and the reclaimed, and the sanctified folks and everybody else. Now, I have to admit, we were ignorant back in that time. No, we weren't ignorant. We were ignorant. Because we thought sanctified was a denomination. You know, like Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. A long time ago, I learned that it was a lifestyle. But even in our ignorance, we knew that the sanctified folks meant business. Yeah, there were some weak links, but they always were on task. With their long dresses, cotton slips, no pants, long sleeve blouses, dollars on their head, stockings, and no makeup and flat shoes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we laughed at them, made fun of them until we needed to get a prayer for them, then we went looking for them. They were real Christians, because although they knew we talked about it, they still prayed for us. Now since I had many sanctified cousins, many Sunday afternoons and nights found me in one of our local sanctified churches. What I realized was that when all the sanctified folks got together in church, wearing their distinctive clothing, they really were a team. They were dressed and spiritually rooted in on one accord, and they had church. They had church. You went in the afternoon and you got home before 11, you got home early. Although I had grown up and worshiped with my sanctified cousins, I didn't have the nerve to ask them why they dressed the way they did. I just watched them and thought them to be quite odd. But since I spent a lot of time with one of my cousins, I decided to ask her grandma about the dress code. As soon as I asked the question, the cousin looked at me and gave me a look and said, "You're going to wish you hadn't asked that." But it was too late. When my old cousin started to talk, I immediately knew what her granddaughter meant. Grandma started her answer by telling me that I was wrong in the way I dressed.
What?
And although I didn't like what she was saying, I clearly understood that if I valued my life, I would not even look as if I was really wrong. She said something about the need to live holy and how women should wear women's clothes. And doing so, not doing so, was an abomination to God. And God didn't approve, and I should be ashamed of myself. How did she not understand? Put my mom in this house. How she understood why she let my mom would let me come out and wear short pants and a sleeveless blouse to visit people who were grounded in homes. Oh, it went on and on and on and on about how wrong I was. And even telling me that if I didn't mend my wicked way and turn to God, one day I would in hell lift up my eyes. She said I was half-dressed. Well, I took the verbal beat down, and by the time I got in my cousin's car to be driven home, I felt lower than a snake's belly. Since we were alone, my cousin said, "Now you know." I asked what her grandma meant by saying I was half-dressed and an abomination. No, I had not read the Holy Bible. As a preteen, trust me, I had bigger fish to fry. In responding with, "What was she talking about?" I learned that in their sanctified denomination, females always have to look like females. Regardless of age, females have to dress in a way that covered their bodies. Doing so would keep men from going astray and keeping the females holy before God. Now, that
for Men and Women's Day, that scripture popped into my mind immediately, half dressed. Talk about how words can impact a children, a child's life. That conversation happened more than 50 years ago, but I've never forgotten. She said I was half dressed. Well, today, I want to go deeper into your theme of dressing for success. So I ask you, are you dressed for success, or are you half dressed? Dressing for success reminds us that clothing matters. My husband loves clothes. He got clothes in every closet and every level of the house. I got my little part over there, and I got black ones here, the blue ones here, and it just goes. But when he goes out, he's dressed. And he looks good. God bless him. But I'm telling you, COVID has been mighty, mighty kind to me. These sweats and shorts and stuff. To love, to be wise, and don't act like other Gentiles. In the sixth chapter, Paul addresses husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and servants. But it's in this last part of the chapter that Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? The answer is simple. That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? Wiles are schemes, tricks, devious strategies, tricky intelligence, and manipulative tactics of persuasion. Has anybody here ever been exposed to the wiles of the devil?
Oh yeah,
but I also believe that at least one somebody here has worked in cooperation with the wiles of the devil. In other words, children of God will always be in a fight against the devil. In the King James Version, the book of Romans puts it this way, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. In other words, I just can't help myself sometimes. No matter how long I'm trying to do good, but just, there's evil out there. And I know it's there. Sometimes I fail. But even within ourselves, as Christians, we struggle. I know But if we don't continuously stay connected to God through prayer, we will fail.
Yeah.
God's word tells us to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, when you wake up,
right.
pray.
Uh-huh.
When you leave home,
right.
pray. When you're going through your day,
pray.
When you get home,
pray.
Before you go to bed,
pray.
When life is good,
pray.
When life is bad,
pray.
When you think you made it,
pray.
When you think you were defeated,
pray.
Prayer works.
Yeah.
Prayer makes the difference. The
yeah.
prayer shifts our circumstances. You ever been in a situation where you just didn't know what you were going to do?
Yeah.
And you decided to pray after you had, you know, we always say, I've done everything else and I've done all my needs. Well, if you follow your needs first, you might have to do all the other things.
Are you half dressed?
you are half dressed,
all right, now,
then there is an opportunity today
oh, yeah,
for you. You can dress, you can change your dress right now.
Hall of Fame in just a few days. And we're very excited about
true, we'll create us a little hall of fame right here, and it'll be true again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And of course, the big news in our conference right now is annual conference.
Amen.
Southeast Alabama annual conference, which of course the presiding officer will be the Right Reverend Harry Seawright. And we're just excited that September 22nd through the 24th, and John Chappell is extra excited because the preacher of the hour for the opening service is none other than the Reverend Willie White Jr. He will be preaching the opening sermon. We're trying to get him over his shyness by then. And amen. So we want to ask everyone to be praying for him, and also tell others that it will be virtual. I mean, people of other denominations, your friends, and everybody. So these are our announcements. Are there any other announcements?
Greetings, everybody. I'd like to stand and announce that one of the members at Friendship Baptist Church in Oakport, Mr. Wilbur Jackson, played NFL football some years back, and they have painted a mural in Oakport in his honor.
Yeah.
So they will dedicate the mural on August the 13th, which is next Friday coming, at 4 o'clock. All of them invited to that, and they have a reception after that. Go out and participate. Very humble man of very few words, but has done some awesome things, and we thank God for that dedication.
Amen.
Thank you for that reminder about Brother Wilbur Jackson and AME with a mural in his honor in downtown Ozark on what's the date? Friday the 13th? Friday the 13th. Okay, thank you. Please keep that in mind. Are there any other announcements? At this time, we'd like to ask our guests in the house if you would like to stand and greet us at this time, or just stand, wave your hand.
Amen.
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 So, if there is anyone who'd like to greet us, you may at this time. All right, we're glad to have you from the pulpit all the way to the balcony. We're glad that you came to John's Chapel. You could have gone a lot of other places. Amen. And it's been such a blessing. And we thank you again for the word, Reverend Seawright. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Greetings, everybody.
Greetings.
On behalf of Pastor White, First Lady, myself, and my wife, I'd like to tell everybody thank you for coming, and we really enjoy it. And we can come again.
Thank you again, Reverend Supervisor Serena Moon Seawright. Thank you for a wonderful, powerful word that you're able to preach this afternoon. Thank you, Zidella. Thank you, pastors. Thank you, members. Thank you, guests. Hey, man, good to see you, Brother Kennedy. That's you. My educator, Larry Nolan, school system. Good to see you, my friend. Good. Good, my friend, good. Thank God for you all, the record that you all are here. And we are so thankful for our team being able to not only come to the station, but leave the station.
Uh-huh.
A lot of churches, we come to the station, and we just stay there. But you come to the bus station, you got to leave the bus station. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to thank God for John Shepherd for understanding that simple, but yet powerful principle. Leave the station. Thank you, Kitchen Ministry. Did a great job this morning. We still, I think, I don't know if they finished on the food, but we have some. I'm not sure prepared for some to go, but we had food early. So thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. They said if you ever want to see a successful man, I show you a praying woman.
Amen.
My wife, Sister White, is a praying woman.
Amen.
And because of her support, I am where I am. That the Lord has put us together. Down through years. The 11th, we'll be celebrating another anniversary. Amen. Almost 34 years together. Happy little 34. Amen. Thank God for you, honey. Bring a tag team with me.
Blessing being today. And you got a new member in charge of a
bless you. I'm a Patty fan. That's the first time I heard Patty in church. God bless you. Bless me. Thank you all so much. This has been a tough day. My first cousin, who was just elected the assistant recording secretary of the Connectional Lay Organization, passed away last night.
Oh.
And it has been a tough day. But I'm grateful that I'm here, and I'm grateful that she's not suffering. And just pray for our family. All right. That's all of you. That's it. Thank you all again for the opportunity. Thank you so much for your kindness. And thank you for being here. God bless you. Stay.